Our scripture reading you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we will read verses from chapter 11, verses 11 through the end. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 11. Let's hear God's word to us this evening. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This far God's word to us, dear congregation, we wish to meditate with you on the word of our text, which you can find Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. These words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our theme is rest in Christ at year end. In the first place, we're invited to come laden. Second, to come childlike. A third, to come anticipating. Come unto me, Jesus says. rest in me at your end. Come laden, come childlike, come anticipating. Come laden. That's, in the first place, realistic. What other way would we come? Could we come? But laden. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Literally, it's those that are weary, those that are spent, those that are exhausted, discouraged. And heavy laden is burdened, loaded with cares and anxieties. Jesus says, I will give you rest. See, when we come to the end of the year 2012, looking forward, or perhaps looking up against another year, 2013. Another year of seemingly endless chores and work, worries, bills to be paid, maybe even more concerned yet about the direction of our country and the world in which we live. Certainly doesn't look very promising, does it? Maybe you're tired even of saying that you're doing great when you're not great at all. Hiding behind a smile, but sick with worry on the inside. Maybe you feel like Solomon, who tried it all, who had it all. Maybe you feel like that. You've been there and done that. And come to the conclusion, just like he in Ecclesiastes 1:14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, all is vanity. It's empty. It's like a rat race. One day to the next, 1 week to the next, 1 month to the next, 1 year to the next. All is vanity. It's empty. And he says, vexation of spirit, literally a grasping for the wind. Well, boys and girls, you know you can't hold the wind. Just like that, you cannot hold on to what's really meaningful in life. All these things can be and are perhaps so exhausting and so unfulfilling. That's what labor and heavy laden expresses. But what will you expect? What do we expect? What do we really expect? Or realistically expect of living in a sinful world with a sinful heart? Job says in 14 verse 1, man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Augustine says, Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Restless. Labor, heavy laden. But Jesus says, so come to me. It's realistic, but also in the second place, restless. It's a reality. We are restless. How many times can you really sit down a whole evening with a book, uninterrupted? When was the last time that you had such an evening or such a day without being interrupted by the media or technology or anything like that? Restless. You see, and this is not just a problem for unbelievers only. Of course, it's their main problem. They will not find rest until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time and find rest. So we shouldn't be that surprise that we're restless when we are not coming to the Lord Jesus to find rest in Him. But you see, this is far too often also the problem of the believer. We too are often restless. And are we surprised when we are restless after having departed from the Lord Jesus, going astray from Him? All we like sheep have gone astray. If the same propensity still to depart from Christ and try to drink from waters that can, from cisterns that can hold no water, broken cisterns, forsaken the fountain of living water, and then being surprised that we have no rest. Or refreshment, as it literally can be translated to. Something we need, something we deep down want or desire, we're longing for it, we're searching for it, but too often drinking from waters that cannot quench our thirst. And then we are surprised that we're restless inside, that we're not at peace. We're not as content as we could be and should be and maybe in Christ. You see, it's one thing for an unbeliever to be restless and to have not that solid rest that we can find in Christ. It's quite another thing for the believer. It's one thing for the world to be restless and seek to be filled with entertainment to find and to satisfy that restless soul. It's quite another if the church, if the people of God do not have it. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus rebuked His people about in this passage that we read together. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But He says, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" Of course, He spoke about the generation of His time, but He could have spoken of any generation, of our generation, the same thing. Whereto shall we like it? Whereto shall we like this congregation? It's like children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows. "We have piped, and here you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, you have not lamented. We have preached the gospel. Did you mourn, congregation, of your sin? Did you dance of joy when salvation was offered and you received it humbly?" John came neither eating nor drinking. They say he's a devil. Jesus came eating and drinking. They say he's a gluttonous, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus rebuked them, for they refused to hear His word and repent. Jesus says, "Come, laden." It's not only realistic and speaks of being restless, but it speaks of being repentant. Most of all, repentant because the Lord Jesus uses some very strong language. He says in verse 20, "Then began He to upbraid or rebuke the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee," He says, "Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which are done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon," Syria, "they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." They would have, but you will not, He says. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. For they were never offered this rest. You were." And once again tonight. And then He goes on to say, "And thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, came to heaven's gate, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Sodom would have been still in existence in the days of Jesus, he says. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. In other words, no excuse for being restless. There's no lack of rest in Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me. He says, it's clear, you need me. You cannot do anything without me. You cannot do anything without coming to me. You cannot do anything without abiding in me. She says in John 15. See, and this command and is an invitation. It's not optional. It's not something that you can leave or take. And furthermore, why wouldn't we want to come? What hinders us from coming? You see, we have nothing to lose and we have everything to gain. We're lost already. We must repent. That means turn around. Turn back to God. Instead of having our back to Him, our face to Him. Through Jesus Christ. For He is the Savior to the uttermost. Who come to God by Him as the way, the truth, and the life. You have to turn from sin to Christ. From trying to do it in our own strength and with our own wit. Burdening ourselves in the process of it. Sinking ourselves away under it. To Christ. Who's mighty. Who's able. Who's willing. He says, come unto me, even now at this end of the year 2012. In other words, what he's saying, didn't you try long enough? Aren't you tired of trying and failing, trying and failing, whether you do it in worldly entertainment and pursuits, or whether you do it in religious efforts? Don't you understand? You won't get any better in the year 2013. That's why he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, he says, give up your burdens. Let me carry them. That brings us to a second point. Become childlike. You see, resting in Christ at year's end means that we not only come heavy laden, but also childlike. Humbled in the first place. Humbled for the simple reason that we have to acknowledge that we can't do it. That we failed miserably. It's humbling, it's painful, but it's so profitable. We find here the same as we see in Matthew 18, as we have recently considered together. Verse 3, verily I say unto you, except, that means unless and until, you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I could say the kingdom of rest. The great Sabbath. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's why every Lord's Day we celebrate the resurrection and eternal life as a foretaste of great Sabbath rest. The kingdom of rest. And then verse 4, whosoever, therefore, whosoever, therefore, for that reason, shall humble himself as a little child, as this little child, the one he put in the midst, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What a paradox, isn't it? The little child is the greatest. And earlier we read already that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, who was the greatest prophet. The Lord Jesus first compared his hearers with the inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon and of Sodom. Extremely wicked. Now he compares them with little children. Or really compares them with adults who seem smart but act like fools. Listen to the amazing prayer, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that after he speaks about being, that it be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee? And then it says, at that time, it says in verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, what did he answer to? Nobody was asking any question. Well, he answered to their need. He answers to our need even before we ask. And he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Little children, very little children. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then he speaks about knowing the Father. And that can only be through knowing the Son. The wise and the prudent. It was hidden and is hidden for the wise and the prudent. The wise are the philosophers. The word philosopher has a root word there. Those that have wisdom that is learned from the books. Searched it and studied it and are very smart. The prudent are the ones that are very smart and intelligent in practical ways. So book knowledge and life knowledge. Very smart people. But God says, I've hidden it from them. That's not the way to discover this truth. That's not the way to find rest. You can philosophize and theologize all you want. Some people are so smart indeed, aren't they? They're smart in planning their entire life. They make all the right choices about education and about job skills and about investments. A retirement plan. They've covered. They've everything from the cradle to the grave covered. They even meticulously often plan their vacations. Maybe you're one of them. Talking about your vacations, weeks in it, nothing wrong with that. In itself. But how much planning do we sometimes put into vacations, which last 2 or 3 weeks, and we plan not at all for eternity? Totally unprepared for that, at the loss, really, of it. Humbled. Aren't you humbled? That we can prepare for a vacation but not for eternity? And isn't that also in the second place foolish? See, we're not only incurably wicked by nature but incredibly foolish. I'm tempted to use another word. And maybe I should use it. Stupid. That's really what we are. We sometimes look at children and teenagers or young people or sometimes older ones too, and they say, how could a man or a woman, how could they do this? Don't they know? Yes, of course they know. You see, left to ourselves, there's no hope. They're helpless, hopeless, wicked, foolish. We do all kinds of things. We pursue all kinds of avenues. But we won't repent and believe the gospel by nature. Little children will enter heaven before us and maybe without us. Would your children go ahead of you into glory? Or without you? You see, John 5:40, Jesus says, "You will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come that you might have rest." You prefer restless. You prefer darkness over light and life, death over life. Now, isn't that foolish? Really? Psalm 81:11, "But my people," it doesn't say, "but this world," "but my people would not hearken to my voice. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me." Listened to me. That's what the word hearken means. But really the word hearken is translated even more often with obey. Oh, that my people would obey me. Isn't that what we mean when we say to our children, "Listen to me"? You really mean more than that, they would just hear you. You want them to obey you. Do what I say, not just hear it. And so God says, don't just hear my word, be doers of it. Not only because we have to and we need to, but shouldn't we want to? And the thing is, we know it. We can't claim ignorance as this world. Tyre and Sidon could claim ignorance. Sodom could claim ignorance. They never heard the gospel. And we heard it 53 Sundays this year. Did you know that? 2012 has 53 Sundays. So we had an extra one this year. So come childlike, humbled, hopeless, foolish, but also honest and trusting. Isn't that what children do? Little children trust, especially little ones. So we know what we need to do. Little children and older children know what they have to do. Do what's right. And the Lord Jesus says, you can't carry the burden by yourself. You can only when you come to me. So confess it. Own up to the fact that you cannot and will not do it. Confess your wickedness. Be honest to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't listen to your deceitful heart or your reasonings. Be honest with yourself and before God and before one another. Ask for help. Don't we teach our children that? Don't we want our children to come to us for help? We know what they do sometimes. They keep trying and they make a mess of things and they make decisions that are hurtful and foolish. And sometimes you have to bite their tongue to say, "I told you so." But little children, they come. It's a children's nature to come and to trust. And so we're called to be like such a child, to come and to confess our burdens and say, "Lord, I cannot do it, and I must say that I don't find a will in me even to do it." And Jesus says, "If you come, I'll give you rest. I give you all the grace, all the power you'll need." See, a child comes without any pretense. We have so much pretense. We come to church with a lot of pretense. We come to God in prayer with a lot of pretense. Children don't come like that. When a child hurts himself, he runs to his mother Because he trusts that mom can and will help. When a child's been bad and is confronted and asks for forgiveness, he trusts his dad. When his dad says, "I forgive you," the child knows it's gone. Trusts. Dad says, "I forgive you." So I still feel miserable. I still feel guilty. I'm so sorry that I've done that. I might still be crying, but Dad says, "I forgive you." How much more God? 1 John 1:9, if or when we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful, because he said so. He's just, the price is paid, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All ye that labor and heavy laden. Jesus says, come, all of you. He doesn't say, come some, all of you. That's the text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come repentant, yes. Come confessing that your greatest burden is your sin, yes. But it doesn't say that. It says we can come with all our burdens, with all our laboring to please God, with all our laboring to please ourselves, with all our confusion, with all our sins, with all of it. Come, he says. And come anticipating, expecting that I will give you rest. So Jesus makes it very plain that we should come anticipating with joyous expectation and excitement, knowing that he will do as he has said. Because it's Jesus Christ who commands to come. He doesn't say, try harder. He's not a hard taskmaster. He doesn't say, you're too late. He doesn't say, you're too early. He doesn't say, you're too old or you're too young. He doesn't say, you're too wicked. He doesn't say, you're not weary enough, not burdened enough. He doesn't call us to labor just a little longer. Then we'll have that rest. No, he says, come. He says, come now and come to me. Don't do anything else. Don't go anywhere else but to me. Don't go to theology. Don't go to your reasoning. Don't go to worldly philosophy, but to me, to my word. Come to me. Abide in my word. My word will abide in you. That's where you find rest. Maybe you say, but you don't know my sins. No, I don't. But he does. That's why he came. He know the burden is impossible. That's why he came to do it. For sinners. Even if all your sins, maybe you're different. Maybe if all the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah combined would be on your back, you could still come and be delivered of it. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's none excluded. Maybe you say, but I wish I was burdened more by my sins. I'm so cold and so hard. All the more reason to come to him. To have that hardness removed. To have the cold, hard, broken, or rather melted at his feet. I said it before, if you can't come to him in faith, come to him for faith, for it's a gift. It's not something that you have to muster up and bring and present it to him. As if you give it to him, you come to him to get it. To receive it. Acts 5:31. Him, that is Jesus, has God exalted with his right hand, or you could say at his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. To give both the root and the fruit. To give all. That's the rest. You're not scraping together some rest and then to receive it from him. You come restless and weary and heavy laden to receive it. For he will give both the repentance and the forgiveness. And freely so. No strings attached. Come by without money, without price. Why labor for that which satisfies not? But you maybe wonder, how do I come to him? Well, simply by telling him right now, right here, that you're nothing but a sinner and that you find nothing but sin in yourself. And then you acknowledge freely what he already sees you to be. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go home first. Right now, right here, tell him that you're weary and heavy laden and say, here I am, Lord. I don't know what else to do, where else to go. Receive me, Lord, as I am. I read in thy word that thou hast come to save sinners. Well, Lord, I am a sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, help me to believe thy word more than my word, thy thoughts more than my thoughts. For thy ways are higher than my ways. Lord, help me to not listen to my feelings and my opinions and my thoughts and other voices. Help me to hear thy voice and thy voice alone. You realize that this is not just or the battle of the unbeliever alone. If you wrestle with this, you think I'm not a believer because I'm wrestling with this. Well, it may well be you're wrestling with this because you are a believer. Fighting doubt, in doubt and temptation, Lord, I rest in thee. Too often the battle of the believer. Just like the father of that child was possessed, cried out, Mark 9:24, I believe, help thou my unbelief. In other words, I do believe, Lord, but I feel I'm drowning in unbelief. I'm assaulted by doubts and temptations and anxieties. So we come. That's what the Lord Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor, weary, exhausted, discouraged, disappointed with self. Heavy laden. Lord, it's too heavy. I can't bear. I drown under it. I will give you rest. You know, when the Lord Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go away? Many people walk no longer with Jesus. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I need that life, Lord. So he didn't want to go away from Jesus, but too many times we do go and we stray away from him. And then he says, come back. Return, but how many times? 7 times, Peter says. No, Jesus says, 70 times 7. But that's impossible. That's superhuman. Well, it is. It's divine. Come again and again and again. Psalm 116, verse 7, return unto thy rest. It was given. O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I will give you rest, Jesus says. Well, what is that rest, actually? What is it? It doesn't mean, of course, that We've arrived and that we sit back in our easy chair and rest the rest of our lives. That's not the kind of rest, at least not yet. We shall receive it, dear believers. One day it will be a rest, but even that will not be a sitting back and doing nothing. That's not what Sabbath rest is about either. We come and we sing and we rejoice and we do good works and we lend a helping hand to the needy and the sick. It's an active rest. So it's not yet heaven. Though sometimes we may have a foretaste of it when we go to church on the Sabbath day. We sit at the Lord's Supper. What it means is that we get rest and refreshment before going back to work. Every Monday after the Sabbath day, every day after a night of rest and sleep. And even now, tonight, before we move from 2012 to 2013, the word rest really means refreshment. As we are refreshed in our sleep, our body is refreshed, so our soul is refreshed when we come back to Jesus again and again. We drink of the water of life and eat of the bread of life. See, that's why the Lord Jesus doesn't end the chapter or the sayings at verse 28. He goes on. If rest would have been the end and having arrived, but there's two more verses. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. It's not only a rest that is passive, but it's a rest that is active. In other words, after rest and refreshment, we go back to work. Back into the wilderness from the oasis. Back on your feet. But instead of carrying the load ourselves and doing it in our own strength, we lean on the Lord Jesus who carries us. Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ for strength. Looking to Christ for example. Learn of me, he says. Follow me. Imitate me. Do as I do. Learn of me, for I am meek. That's gentle. Wasn't the Lord Jesus gentle to those that came to him in their needs, heavy laden? Did he ever send any away? He was so gentle with the sinners who came in their need. He was lowly, also humble in heart. He humbled himself. He was obedient. He humbled himself even to the death on the cross. And ye shall find rest into your souls. You will no longer be restless, even while you walk. You'll have rest when you sit down. You'll have rest when you stand up. When you go to work, when you come back home, there's rest if you look to Christ and follow him. Walk as I walk. And then he goes on in verse 30, for, that means because, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Now the word easy is really literally means suitable or fitting. And my burden is light means it's not heavy. Because I carry it for you and I carry you with it. All the other burdens are heavy. Even pursuing carnal pleasures, it's heavy. It leaves you with a hangover the next day. It's not pleasurable. Even in the moment, not, because it's often associated with guilt, and afterwards, bitter aftertaste. Not so with this. So as you enter 2013 and will go back to work or to school, young people and children in a couple days, or mothers at home, you go to your home chores. The same old, remember this. You carry your burdens and responsibilities. Carry them to me. Carry them after me. Carry them like me as I do it. He says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke fits you just right. That's the word easy. It's custom made. All the burdens that you have are due because of our sins. But the Lord lays upon your shoulders exactly what you can carry. The yoke is exactly fitting your shoulders. He knows exactly what's right. But maybe you ask, what is a yoke? Well, a yoke, in the olden time, it was a wooden bar or a frame that was laid upon an animal or on two animals, on oxen or on donkeys or on horses. So they would carry or pull a heavy load. It would fit their shoulders just right. You can imagine a different yoke was needed for a donkey as for an ox. Sometimes some wooden yokes also were made for people to carry things. Placed on the shoulders with a rope or a chain, and they would carry two pails with water or milk or grain when they would feed the cattle. Distributed the weight evenly, you could carry much more when you had a yoke and then also held it with your hands. Well, a child would have a different yoke than an adult. Or a man, as a woman, would have different size yokes fit for them. Now, this is interesting. I never knew this, but apparently there's a Jewish legend that's been abroad for many times. We have no verification of it. It's a legend, but it's a beautiful one. The Lord Jesus, being a carpenter, is said to have made such yokes of wood for the people in the area. We don't know what he made as a carpenter, but we do know he was a carpenter. And it may well be possible that he made yokes too. For animals to carry heavy loads or for people to carry things. And the legend, according to the legend, it said above the woodshop of Joseph and where Jesus worked too, my yokes are easy. My yokes fit perfectly. What a picture. As a physical yoke would fit perfectly on the shoulders of oxen or donkeys or horses, so the spiritual yoke, the burden that the Lord will lay upon us, fits exactly custom made just for you. As it were, when the sign said, perhaps in sub-sign, don't go anywhere else. For your yoke to be fit for you. Come unto me. Whatever burden or cross I've laid upon your shoulders, don't fight it. Don't resist it. You'll hurt yourself. And the burden will become unbearable. Let me fit you my yoke, for it's easy. And my burden is light. It's not heavy. If you come to me, I will not only carry your burden, but you too. I will carry both your cross and you if you come to me. If you follow me as the great cross bearer, the Lord Jesus says, I will carry you through this life. And it won't be hard. The only times it will be hard when you fight it, when you resist it, when you insist on carrying it yourself, when you insist on being led by your own wit and wisdom or folly, when you stray one way or the other, when you stray in religion, in theology, or whether you stray in your walk, it will chafe your shoulder. It'll hurt. And it'll weigh you down until you come back to me again and again. So come, dear congregation. Would you not come? heavy laden, weary, exhausted, tired of trying yourself. Come again when you've been drifting away. Return. Come laden. Come childlike. Come anticipating. Let us so close the year 2012 and enter, if God will spare us, in the year 2013. He says, come. He says, now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Gracious, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a wonderful word thou hast given us in this chapter. What precious care, what fatherly care and love in giving us exactly what fits us. And then giving us the grace to bear it. Nothing left for us to do but to look to Christ and to trust in Him, to follow Him, to imitate Him, to search for Him in Thy Word, to let Thy Word dwell in our hearts, so that the Word who became flesh may also become real in our flesh, that Thy Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, that we may have rest in receiving, in believing, in trusting, passively resting, but also, Lord, that we may continue also actively resting in Thee as we walk the way of the cross, as we pull our load, as we carry the load in Thy strength. Fill us, Lord, with Thy Holy Spirit. Grant us what we need as we go home now and reflect upon these words. If you have not yet come for the first time, O Lord, draw us for the first time to find Thy Word to be true. We shall not be put to shame. We shall not be let down, whether we come the first time or the 100th time or the 1,000th time. 70 times 7, Thou hast said, infinitely sufficient. My grace is sufficient unto Thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Forgive us all our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.